Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out UnitedHealthcare insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
And I said, I want to win the league, but I want to win it better. You can understand that, can't you?
Yes.
Good lad.
Jay, he's almost like having a second captain in the team.
Second captain, first captain, whatever.
When we were talking through the permutations for the last round of the Leinster Championship last week, I put it to Michael Dignan that there was an outside chance Galway could be knocked out, but I have to admit that even as I voiced the possibility, I half backed away from it. I didn't fully commit to the question, because for them to go out, they had to lose to Dublin, first of all, and also Wexford and Kilkenny had to finish level in Wexford Park. That was the only scenario that could put Galway out, and that's exactly the scenario that ended up taking place on an absolutely wild night of hurling. As Galway, All-Ireland winners 2 years ago, All-Ireland finalists last year, slayers of Kilkenny only last week, are gone. Welcome to Monday Second Captains Podcast. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Owen. How are you?
Hi, Murph.
Hey, Owen.
I haven't even mentioned the football yet. We saved that. How did this happen? I mean, actually, mathematically, how did this happen? Because Galway only lost one game out of four.
Wexford only won one game.
And yet, I suppose Wexford drew a lot of games.
Yeah. Wexford, I mean, there are two ways of looking at it. Wexford are unbeaten in the 2019 All-Ireland Hurling Championship.
Galway are not.
Another way of putting it is that Wexford won only one game against a team that everyone else beat as well, and that was still enough for them to
Wexford have gone through unbeaten in the same manner that the Irish football team did in Italia 90.
Yeah.
But there was just no fourth match against a team that everybody wails on, essentially, is what's happened there. Yeah. You were at Parnell Park some night?
I was. It was an absolutely brilliant game, brilliant occasion. Pretty dramatic. I mean, the Wi-Fi in Parnell Park was largely good. Throughout the second half, I was able to log on to the Wexford GA Twitter account. Well done, whoever is running that Twitter account, by the way. Very informative. I was able to log on with a minimum of difficulty. Of course, the second the final whistle went, the second the final whistle in Parnell Park went, the Wi-Fi obviously exploded into a fiery death ball. So I had absolutely no idea of what was going on. I heard, you know, eight different people saying, "It's over. Kilkenny are one up. Wexford are one up." Because they were reading, like, the tweets, the last tweet that they had received, as opposed to, you know, up-to-the-minute information.
Yes.
And then the news came in that Galway had been knocked out of the Hurling Championship on the 15th of June.
Ugh.
I still think Galway are the third best team in Ireland. I do actually believe that.
They're the best team in Ireland that are currently out of the Championship.
So it would be ahead of them, Dublin and...
Nice, Ken.
Tipperary. Limerick.
Tipperary and Limerick.
Dublin, Tipperary.
No, you have to take the season as a whole, Ken. You have to take the season as a whole.
Yeah.
Ken was too busy marvelling at Alan Nolan's point. The Dublin goalkeeper from play, of course, Ken.
Nolly the
goalie. Love that one.
Yeah.
Conal Keeney scored a point where a defender was coming out with the ball. Keeney barreled into him, possibly failed him, but, you know, it's hurling. The ball then ended up in a scramble with loads of other players involved. Keeney himself won the possession, having dispossessed the first guy. Then turns around and sprints back towards the goals and knocks it over the bar.
Yeah,
pretty impressive. I think we'll talk about him amongst others.
Yeah, it was kind of like
chat with Maliki and Michael Dyson.
Johnny, if instead of Ireland having 37 phases or whatever in Paris last February 12 months, it was as if Johnny Sexton had jackaled over a rook, got the turnover, and then one play later had magically got himself back into the pocket to kick the drop goal. It was quite Keeney was sensational, like absolutely just like hero stuff, you know, because again, it's like the figure of Keeney in Dublin hurling is, you know, like there's a romance to him, the fact that he left the footballers on just on the cusp of their most
successful. Well, left the footballers, came back to the hurling, then left the hurling, came back last year.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. And it was one of those situations where obviously I was very disappointed as a Galway hurling fan, but the Dublin supporters were they were celebrating something else that wasn't just the win. So it wasn't like, you know, it was like a game where there had to be a winner and a loser. There was a winner, and then there was like a loser who didn't expect to be a loser in any real sense.
So it was because of the other game.
Yeah, because of the other game.
What you're saying,
So it was kind of it was an odd one, but it was a pretty ridiculous couple of hours all told when you take into account Wexford Park as well.
There seemed to be a bit of confusion at Wexford Park about exactly what the result meant for the two teams there. Davy Fitz, for one, looked a little bit at sea. We've got some audio of him just at the full time whistle.
Is that the final result?
We're waiting to confirm that.
That would be, I think, a 2-year-old interview we do on. I'm still worried. I'm still worried. I don't know what the score is.
What about that?
Can you find out
the
one? Where
you get
out
of the
service. Is it true? 1-0
they won.
It's Quinner. God, it actually
Quinner.
Took me.
I was going to give Ken a second. I wanted to see if Ken knew what that was.
I knew it was.
Yeah, straight away.
1993.
Yeah.
Windsor Park.
Windsor Park.
Yeah. Won that in November.
Never won't go into that.
And of course, Murph, your weekend of misery was complete when Galway's footballers were beaten by Roscommon in the Connacht final. As you would expect, the Rossi fans and the Shannon side commentators enjoyed the moment. Nigel Dineen is the poor co-commentator trying to get a word in edgeways on Willie Hegarty.
Brilliant to be here to watch. And Roscommon are the first team to get to the Super Eight in 2019.
Oh, it's absolutely fantastic, Willie. It's just absolutely joyous.
Colonel Cox, just 4 points in the championship.
He's a crowd behind him.
If this goes over the bar or goes dead, Roscommon are Connacht champions.
Unbelievable.
Roscommon lead by 4.
This is unreal, lads.
It's all over. Roscommon are the Connacht champions. Roscommon have done it in 2019.
Oh, Willie, this is unbelievable.
The crowd are on the field. For the second time in their history, the second time in the match, Nigel Dineen, Roscommon are Connacht champions.
Oh, it's absolutely fantastic. There's people falling all over the pitch. There's people knocking each other off the ground. It's absolutely fantastic. It's just going to go down as one of the greatest games in history.
This will go down as the managerial last second half in the history of Gaelic football.
And we can all agree on that.
It's easiest money Nigel Dineen ever earned.
I love the fact that it just occurs at some point to Willie Hegarty, I have got a co-commentator. Nigel Dineen, you probably want to get in here at some point.
Yeah. This guy keeps cutting. Oh, wait, he's got a microphone.
The great thing about that is Roscommon always celebrate these victories as though they've ended a famine.
Yeah.
The last time they won the Connacht title, Ken, way back in the mists of time,
2017.
Yeah. Also against Galway, in Galway.
Yeah, against the same manager and the same team, pretty much.
I think I did tip them to have a big year.
The Rossies?
I did.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, you've wiped that from the memory banks, but I did.
Oh, yeah. I asked you for some predictions, as I recall, and you predicted Roscommon to beat Mayo.
Yes.
I don't remember you saying, and then to then go on and win the contest.
Full duck, no dinner.
How do you think I would have called that one if you'd asked me on Thursday, go, I play Roscommon?
Well, shithousing me, you would have said Roscommon. Oh.
Bottle up your pain there, Murph, on the football, that is, until after the hurling chat. Just bottle it.
Okay.
And then you can release. You can open that bottle.
A lot of it towards the end. Done.
We'll get into all that after a quick book club update.
And who wrote it?
I can't remember his name.
I can't remember.
In 1996, Joe McGinnis, an American author and recent convert to the wonderful sport of football, landed in Castel di Sangro, tiny mountain village in the Abruzzo region of southern Italy, where the local team had gone on this insane run up through all the regional and local leagues, eventually winning promotion to Serie B, the second division, of course, in Italy. The author decides it might be a good idea to spend the season in the village following the team's fortunes in Serie B. And he wasn't wrong. The result is The Miracle of Castel di Sangro, which we're pleased to announce as the subject of episode 4 of the I'll Tell You Who Wrote It Second Captain's Book Club. Our book reviewer is also an outsider who's had to learn the wily ways of Italian sport. He's the current head coach of the country's rugby team, Conor O'Shea. Delighted that Conor O'Shea has agreed to do this one for us. And we're expecting to spend less than 3 months pinning him down. And it wasn't 3 months for Joe Brody, but you know. Yeah. The books are ready for you to buy right now. So go to omahanys.ie. That's for the O'Mahony's booksellers website, omahanys.ie. It'll cost you around €13 including your 10% world service discount. The code you need for that is the same one that we give every time. I'll give you it again tomorrow. I just don't want to be giving it out to everybody today on the Monday. But we'll go to all World Service members again tomorrow. It's the same one if you have bought any of the previous books. And we'll play the interview in the middle of July. So we'll give you plenty of time to read that one. It's a lot easier a read than Joe DiMaggio's book. Mm. Joe DiMaggio, The Hero Life, which we forced Joe Brawley to read for episode 3 of the book club, which went out last week. It was a very good, it's a brilliant book. Look, if you heard the episode, you'll know what we're talking about. But not the easiest read. Whereas The Miracle of Castel Di Sangro, it's just a lot of fun from start to finish. Really is. So have a read of that if you get a chance. And if you want to send in your own suggestions for future episodes, just email editor@secondcaptains.com and put book club in the title. And away we go. Okay, I think we have Saturday night pretty well covered. Malachy Clerken was at Parnell Park. A pretty good gig, Malachy.
Steady, yeah.
And Michael Dignan was in Wexford Park. Not a bad night there, Michael.
It was brilliant. That's the only way I could put it. Some atmosphere and what a match. Old school, plenty of hard hits. Very enjoyable.
I keep hearing how there was a lot of confusion around the place. Did you get that sense, Malachy? It wasn't like there were endless scenarios.
I don't understand why there's confusion. Like, this is the exactly. It's not theoretical physics. There was two games, four teams. If Dublin won, that opened up the other considerations. But like in front of me at the end, when there was like some Galway supporters in front of us after Dublin had won, and they kind of turned around, kind of. What's the story down in Wexford there, lads? And we were going. Lee Chin's after getting an equaliser, so it looks like it's going to be a draw. And they kind of went, "All right, yeah." And I went, "That means you're gone, lads." And they went, "What? What are you talking about?"
Like, honestly, the arrogance
hadn't even crossed
their
mind. Come on.
But like, it was the only result that could do them.
Yeah.
And they were kind of going, "Oh, Jesus, really? Shit." So it was, I just couldn't work out why people were so muddled about it. Like, it was reasonably straightforward.
What about in Wexford? Did people know what was going on, Michael?
Well, I was doing commentary on the radio for RTE, and I opened my mouth, not for the first time, and put my foot in it and said, "I don't know what the permutations are." I got plenty of abuse. Some lad told me on Twitter that was my only job. But see, when you're there and it's live and the drama and the whole lot, and there was total confusion, and Dickie Murphy, the ex-ref, ran up to me. I was on air and he said, "What's the story? What's the story?" And I said, "I think it's Dublin and Kilkenny in the Leinster final." And then there was a bit of a lull around the place and they didn't know. And there was total mayhem in Wexford, I don't know, at the final whistle, because the clock in the stadium was wrong. It read 38:30 and it was 4 minutes injury time, at least 4 minutes. But seemingly the referee was right. On television, the clock on the TV was 4.5 minutes, but in the stadium it was wrong. So Aidan Nolan was having a go at the ref. He got sent off. Cody was going mad. Davey was going mad. The crowd were going mad.
Dickie Murphy was confused. Not for the first time with a clock.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Total mayhem at the final whistle. And so, while as Malachy says, when in the cold light of day, and when you're a nice, reasoned person like Malachy, I was nearly like it was, that was after playing in the match. We were in the middle of it all. So, what an evening though for Hurling, for Leinster. Like, what a win for Dublin. Like, I didn't see that one coming. I have to say, I thought Galway were beginning to build, and I thought we were going to be a major threat, so fair play to Dublin.
The suddenness of this for Galway is going to be pretty hard to live with, particularly for those two fellas that you chatted to on the way out. But for the rest of them, last week we're talking about them really putting a stamp of authority on the championship and flexing their muscles, all that stuff, and now they're gone. And they can probably look over a few different, not just in this game, a few different moments over the course of the last few games.
Well, definitely. And actually, I'll get to those in a second. But even with sort of, in the last 10 minutes, and you were there, Murph.
Yeah,
like,
I was,
like, they were, you know, it was a tight game. It was a close game. It opened up as it went on, but it was so claustrophobic in the first half, so physical and like so stop start. But as the second half went on, like, all we were getting their scores easier than Dublin were. And okay, they were only going a point up, maybe 2 points up, but they were, and never shaking them off. But you were still kind of going, they're the better team here. They should take care of business here. Like, Joe came on and sort of stayed away from the game a little bit, as if he was sort of, I don't know if he was sort of protecting himself. He wasn't really getting stuck into the meat of it, but he was kind of finding himself out on the wing, and Dublin pucked a couple of balls to him and he just knocked them over the bar. And you were kind of thinking, yeah, Galway are going to do this. Like, even 68th minute, David Glennon scores a point and it puts them level or puts them one up, and you're going, they're going to get
this. The Jason the Real's goal, they'll probably
And that was the suddenness of it, because literally like 5 minutes later, Lee Chin was scoring down in Wexford, and like that was it. They were gone. Like, and so it was exactly in that 5 minutes, it turned from exactly as you're saying, Owen, a team that's building, a team that's going to get there, is going to keep improving. Joe is going to get better. They'll be better in the Leinster final or whatever their next game is, and they'll be better suited as they go on. And we know what they're like near the end of the year. We know what they're like in All-Ireland semi-finals. They're a seasoned team. This is going to be it. And then 5 minutes later, good luck,
it's
lads.
It's gone, yeah. And it happened that fast because, as you say, 68 minutes before the third goal for Dublin goes in, Galway are they're kind of muddling along, and then all of a sudden the goal goes in. Noel Larkin runs in, the Mayor Forna for Galway runs into the sort of the Galway defence, and he's just saying to the lads, "We're gone if something doesn't happen here." You know what I mean? Yeah. And it was just like looking at that, you're just going, "Oh, this is falling apart so quickly," because you know, like I left it alone. As a Galway supporter, I left it alone in the first half. Then I checked at halftime. The score from Wexford Park is like Wexford 3 up on Kilkenny. You're just like, that's going to be a draw. Like, that is going to be a draw. But I mean, Michael, like, I want to ask you about, you know, you hear about players talking about, you know, after a one-point defeat, every ball is replayed in your head. You know, like, you look back to every little incident. From Galway's point of view, you can do that over now 3 games. Mm-hmm. Like the Kilkenny game was obviously a really good performance, but other than that, not sticking 12 or 13 points on Carlow cost them. The draw against Wexford was so unbelievably sloppy, and then also last Saturday night. I mean, the level of introspection when you think you're actually looking back over small moments in not one game, but actually 3 games that cost you and knocked you out of the championship.
Yeah, that's what I was when you were just chatting there. That's what I was thinking. This didn't just happen against Dublin. This is the way they've been playing all year, really. It's just like, even against Kilkenny, they should have won the game comfortably, you know. And there, here's Kilkenny, then if they got the extra couple of minutes, maybe they could have got something out of that game, a draw or a win, you know. And it's just crept into them, and I think it's exactly, I think what you're alluding to there is that they felt, we're going to get through, even in third place in Leinster, we're going to get through, and we'll build. Then, like, yeah, Dahi Burke away with Cara Finn, then he came back. I think he broke his toe or he had some sort of an injury. He was out. He was only sort of getting back up to speed. McInerney was away with the club. You know, obviously Joe was out and got back, made a big effort to get back. But even Blood and Joe for a few minutes, like the other night, that seems to be the plan there. And sometimes, you know, this can happen. Best laid plans. You're looking forward and you miss what's happening in front of you, you know. There's different examples of it. I even think Limerick, you know, leaving off a few lads yesterday and that type of thing. Sometimes these things can come back to bite you down the road. And, you know, I think it's just sloppiness from Galway. And I didn't see it coming. Like, I saw them out in the whatever you want to call it, a glorified challenge match or whatever, in Sydney last year, the Wild Geese. I was out there doing the commentary. And they saw the hitting that went on with themselves in Kilkenny that day and the way they were up for it and the whole lot. And, you know, they were looking to me like they were really geared up for this year. Talking to some of the players out there on that trip, they were reeling after the All-Ireland final last year. They wanted to get back there to that level, and they were just, you know, they just took their people talk about focus, they lost concentration, they were looking too far forward, and they're paying a heavy price today for it.
Yeah, Galway have tried to regenerate that team, Michael, but they haven't found anyone since the 2017 All-Ireland final. I mean, Conor Whelan goes off and it's to Davy Glennon they have to turn, and Davy Glennon he came on as a sub in the 2012 All-Ireland final, you know, the dive for the free that got the replay. I mean, Brian Kincannon, Sean Loftus, Thomas Monaghan, none of these guys have actually made anything like an impact, the impact that you'd expect young Galway up-and-coming players to make in this squad, which means there's no internal pressure on the team from 2 years ago. And I think that is a major part of what's happened with Galway as well.
It's a huge part of it, and that's what John Kiely is trying to do in Limerick. He's trying to generate that real competition between the players, because Galway won the All-Ireland and we're bringing on Niall Burke, Jason Flynn, you know, and say David Lennon, and try the very same thing the following year, starting the same team, bringing on the same subs. And, you know, look, Offaly's another day's work, and we have such a rebuilding job. But if you take Galway, every county has its own. But you take Galway, they have a massive academy system, underage academy structure. They have hundreds of players in the system. Where are they going? Like, this is, they're for donkey's years winning minor All-Irelands but I know they put a huge amount into their underage setup, and they've, you know, loads of lads at under 14, 15, 16, all the way up along. And as you say, like Brian Cannon last year in the league got a good few matches. I thought he was very good, but come championship, he was left off. They didn't blood players last year. I said that. I don't even recall last year. I was saying could come back to bite them. They had chances last year to blood lads when they were true in Leinster, and they didn't do it. And a loyalty to lads, you know, and I think John Kiley, if you look at what he's trying to be doing, he left off Dermot Byrne, left off Keane Linchester, Declan Hannan. Like, some, you can say he was playing a game, but I think he's genuinely afraid to go with the same team and bring on the same thing. What worked last year won't necessarily work this year, and that's what he's trying to do. And you're trying to balance that with not taking lads' confidence away either. So it's a tricky one. But I'd really ask a question about Galway in terms of where are all these young players that they're bringing through, you know, 14, 15, 16, so invest in 4 and 5 and 6 years in them in underage academies, and then they're not coming through and making it onto the senior team.
I'm just slightly concerned here, Malachy, that we may be forgetting there were two teams playing at Parnell Park.
Yeah. Fancy that.
Let's talk about
it's funny. It's funny you say that. I was 400 words into my report on Saturday night, almost before I mentioned Dublin, really. And I was thinking exactly that. Like, that is as big a win as Dublin Hurling have had in, God, you've got to go back to the Daly years, really. And as huge an outpouring of emotion. Like, it was brilliant to be
and
there.
Daly pointed out that none of, he mentioned the big wins that they had, and none of them really happened at Parnell Park. There were a couple of big ones at Croker. Yeah. There was a Tullamore where they beat Galway.
Mm. Yes.
So he said this is the biggest one he can ever remember at Parnell Park, which added another layer to it.
Yeah, and he was there, he was sitting down in front of the press box, absolutely loving it. Fucking every ball, he was delighted with it. So. But like, it was fantastic. And look, it was built on a couple of pillars. Conal Keeney was incredible. Now, he doesn't have the body for it, really, absolutely, at peak level for 70 minutes anymore.
Is he 36?
36 going on 37, going on 49.
Yeah.
But boy, does he have the attitude for it. Like, he was going around kicking ass and taking names. He was just being, listen, lads, this is, I'm the daddy of this particular field here. And if you're going to go around busting Oisín O'Rourke, well, you're going to get it from me straight away. And he was going around hitting fellas. He went straight up to Canning and went for Canning as soon as Canning came on and says, look, you're going to have to earn it here. He scored, was it 3 points he got? Set up 3 or 4 or more. He was outstanding. Sean Moran was brilliant, really brilliant at centre back.
Chris Crummy. And Johnny Glynn, I would buy tickets to. Forget the other 28.
Yeah.
Similar to Dahi Burke and John Conlon last year.
And absolutely bet the living shit out of each other. And but then Crummy gets forward for the two game breaking moments.
Yeah.
Fouled for the penalty, and then an absolutely identical situation at the end of the game. And came in, and at that point, Dahi Burke wasn't there to bury him. Mm. And so he got the goal. Like, he was fantastic. And even Oisín O'Rourke, like, Dublin were without David Tracy and Paul Ryan, both injured. So they needed a new free taker. He didn't miss one shot. He scored 9 points, 6 frees, 165. And like, there's nothing of him. Like, he's not, you're going up against, at one stage, he got the ball off Keeney. And they were playing down into low terrace end.
Yeah.
And he turned back into like three huge Galway players. And you went, oh no, we're never going to see him again. Yeah. turn away. But he really held his own. And they were, look, it was great for them all the way through.
Yeah. Michael?
Well, you mentioned Chris Crummy. I've been looking at this guy for a few years. Arguably the best wing back in the country over the last 2 or 3 years. Definitely up there, you know, and he's getting recognition, obviously, people realise, but I think maybe more so after the weekend. Conal Keeney is an unbelievable warrior. When you think about not only his age, but the mileage, you know, that he has had, you know, with the footballers and all the years he put into the football, didn't win in All-Ireland, was gone before the sort of great years. He went 5 Leinsters football and then went back to hurling after all the years, and then to do what he's been doing. Like last year against Kilkenny in Parnell Park, he gave one of the great displays. And then I thought that was it last year, you know, and then I saw him at Ballyboden in Parnell Park against Coolderry, and I said to myself, we won't see him again, and then for him to come along again, you know, and that sort of leadership, you can't buy that, that sort of drive and determination. And look, Matty Kenny's, you know, he's on the up and up in terms of you know, I think he was very nearly gone to Waterford at the start of the year, or thought he was, and aren't Dublin lucky that they got him now. You know, what success with Coola, to win two All-Ireland clubs, and now doing it with Dublin. And I believe, now you were there, was there a bit of needle on the sideline as well? Or
there was plenty.
Michal Donnelly getting a bit excited. And of course, the club rivalry wouldn't be lost on them, and a bit of interaction there. So I'm sure Greg Kennedy had a word or two for him as well along the way. So just that was the feedback I got, that maybe Michal Donnelly got a little bit more rattled than he normally does on the sideline.
He was very excitable.
Yeah,
very excited. He ran onto the pitch at one stage, and fourth official grabbed him by the elbow and took him off.
I don't know if for a quiet man in interviews, he is quite lively on the sideline. Yeah. To be fair,
he is.
So I don't know. Could you say that he was rattled necessarily? I mean, he did. He made
a
couple
very
of
cross.
Yeah, he made a couple of forays down in front of the Dublin dugout, which was happening directly in front of me. And they weren't long. They weren't long telling him that this is actually our dugout. So if you wouldn't mind going back to your dugout, that'd be great.
Yeah. Well, look, Matty Kenny would have been very disappointed he didn't get the Galway job. You know, that a few years ago. So there definitely had to be. You know, when you're from the same place, I don't care when you're on the line. There's going to be a bit more, and the club rivalry in Galway very strong as well. And you know, guaranteed there was no love lost anyway between them. But look, I think. Certainly, I had to put my hands up. I didn't see, you know, I just thought Galway and Kilkenny would definitely come out. And I thought it was down to Wexford and Dublin. And, you know, it's a great result for Dublin hurling. They've been making great strides. Little bit of a stall over the last couple of years. You know, I think with Pat Gilroy coming and going so quickly. And then I thought it might take Matty Kenny a little while to settle in. But, like, they're in a quarter final now. And you know, they're going to really enjoy this and love it. And it's great for hurling in Dublin.
Were you impressed with what you saw from Wexford, Michael?
It was a great occasion, and it was a great, you know, look, Wexford went out with the breeze in the first half and dropped, you know, Kevin Foley back straight away. And, you know, it drives me mad at times. You know, I can understand what Davey is doing and what he brings to the table. You know, and it really came home to me on Saturday evening, you know, what Davey does so well. You know, we can talk about the way the systems and the way he plays and all that, and we can be critical of that. But in terms of what he brings to the counties that he's involved in, like the atmosphere, the passion, you know, the preparation of the players, their physical fitness and their motivation, determination, and the bums on seats and all that sort of thing, which I suppose you can take that for granted. But when you're from Offaly and see the way we've gone, what we would give to have some of that, you know, and to some of that spirit and heart and determination that he puts into them. And how to go out and play afterwards, well, that's another day's work. That's up to them. I don't think I've said it before, can win in All-Ireland playing like that. But they're very, very competitive. And he's freeing up the likes of Dermot O'Keefe. He's out in the middle of the field now, and he's, you know, they're trying to feed him when they're coming out with the ball. He scored 4 from play in the first half. He was exceptional. They hit hard, they closed down. TJ Reid was man-marked by Matthew O'Hanlon. Paddy Foley man-marked Walter Walsh. They won those battles, the physical battles, and then Kilkenny do what they do. They still find a way. Adrian Mullen popped up at 1-3 after being taken off after 20 minutes against Galway. So reportedly wasn't going to be starting. Cody showed faith in him, and then he was caught in possession. It was like a lad getting an education in front of your eyes. You know, you're welcome to the, I think you said about Oisin O'Rourke, Mullen is 19, you're saying Jesus is going to be killed here. But he kept going and he grew into the game and he scored 1-3 from play. Killian Buckley got an hour into his legs, wasn't himself, but it'll help him later in the year. Walter Walsh got an hour into his legs. You know, James Maher came back on for the last 15 and played really well. So Kilkenny will take, I think, a lot of positives out of the game, even though they didn't win it. And they're building a squad to me. You know, you look at Limerick, we know they have the 5 or 6 subs. You're looking at Tipcentre a bit short on the bench. You're looking at other counties, who do they have? I think Kilkenny are building a squad, you know, the next strongest squad to Limerick, I think, when it comes to, if they get everybody back for the next day for the Leinster final, I think they have 4 or 5 real options now on the bench that a lot of other counties don't have.
It's Wexford against Kilkenny in the Leinster final again, Mal. And one of the big things that Davey has done, and, you know, it hasn't happened in a vacuum, Kilkenny have certainly come back to Wexford a bit, but Wexford don't mind playing Kilkenny at all now. They really relish. I mean, if Wexford had a choice of who to play in the Leinster final, Kilkenny or Galway, they'd pick Kilkenny any day of the week, I think.
Yeah, and, like, they'll love it. And like maybe, and Michael, you know, it's right there, you know, can you see yourself last week of August Or is it his first son? Whenever the final is. Yeah. Can you see it, Wexford? Can you see them lifting Liam McCarthy? Probably not. But Jesus, whatever about the other three teams that are in the provincial final, they would be well up for winning a Leinster title, you know? Like I was looking through the attendance figures for Leinster finals going back.
There's a few spikes in there.
Well, last year, I think it was 39,000. 3 years ago, it was 28,000. The one in between, the one that Wexford got to, 60,000.
Yeah.
They will bring half the Bleeding County to it on Sunday week, and they will be well, they'll go out, eyeballs out for it, and we'll love a Leinster title. We'll be all about it. And you're exactly right, you know, like, we're writing poems, or I was writing poems to TJ Reid in the paper on Saturday, and checked the paper on Sunday, and 07 all freeze, you know.
Was your Murphy saying he's better than Shefflin on the show last week?
Not even the
best. I
think
he said Shefflin was totally overrated. Was I might have added that one in myself. But yeah, no, he was kept under wraps quite well.
Yeah.
He was well held from play. Did a few. Now he's fouled for a few of them frees, and you know he wasn't completely out of the game, but was well marked by Matt O'Hanlon. And you know, just a few things out of the game. Like, to me, Conor McDonald is a throwback, say, to your Tony Dorans or Joe McKenna in terms of his ability in the air. I think there's nobody in the country as good under a high ball. But the problem is they got a couple of balls into him, but Pádraig Walsh was the loose man because of the way Wexford were playing, and he probably could have got two goals except that. Was when he came down with the ball, Walsh was back, a great flick away for one of them, and another ball was saved off the line by Hugh Lawler. I just love to see him, you know, just one-on-one on the edge of the square, and I think he's absolutely brilliant in the air, and he scored a couple of points, very limited possession. But look, every game we talk about, look, it's going to be completely different. Like, TJ Reid won't be as quiet again, you know, in general play. Shouldn't be. And I heard somebody saying on Sunday that they thought Croke Park could suit the Wexford forwards more. I'm not so sure about that. I think they'll suit Kilkenny more because they have a few younger lads and lighter lads, and they'll get more room than they got down. Like, there wasn't an inch down there. It was just, I don't know if you heard that or saw it, but it was just from first whistle to last, the intensity of it and the hitting and you know, the crowd and the whole lot. And you won't, you know, Croke Park is a different atmosphere, and it's going to be a completely different game. And I give Wexford a very good chance. I think what Maliki says is right there. It'll mean an awful lot to them. But, you know, I'm just looking at the Kilkenny lads beginning to get back into their stride. And take Richie Lahey. He came on last year. There were nine down. He scored five in the second half in Nolan Park. He had five chances on Saturday evening. He hit them all wide. Three of them, he was on his own, 40, 45 yards out. That won't happen to him again either, you know. So, you know, while Wexford, everyone misses chances, I just think Kilkenny are going to be that bit sharper for the final, and they'll be a different team, and there'll be a different team in Croke Park.
There was a lot less drama in Munster over the weekend, despite Clare's best efforts. Michael, you know, Limerick tip was a bit of a non-event, I guess, if that's not going too far. Now, they are at it again in the Munster final, so you presumably you'd expect proper Munster championship fare then?
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, there was a lot of talk in the build-up, what way would they go at it, and it just, the players aren't stupid, you know, they knew that they were going to be through, and they knew they'd probably meet again, and, you know, so there was a bit of, but from a Tipperary point of view, it'll be all about the injuries, like, it looks like it has to be confirmed, but it looks like Bonnar-Maher got a very serious injury, it looked like a cruciate, that was the word down there said after the match. Cathal Barrett went off with a bit of a hamstring, now, he jogged off, it didn't look to be maybe badly torn, but he gets some sort of a strain, whether he'll be back or not. And, you know, we're looking at the tip subs. You know, Jake Morris started yesterday, didn't make any impression. Robert Byrne came on, maybe got one ball. Like, they don't have that impact or that cover that maybe other teams have. So they're really going to be tested. And Bonner, you know, what a warrior, what a career he's had. And just back to, you know, I couldn't believe the way, like, you know, he looked to me last year that he was maybe, you know, had done his bit for tip and it was over. And just to look at his form early in the championship, he was outstanding. So, you know, so they're going to really miss those lads. And then, look, Limerick are going to be there. Like, arguably the three most important players are Hannan for his distribution, Lynch for his vision, and Hegarty for his work rate and his presence. And the three of them are missing. They're going to make a massive difference when they come back in. So, you know, you'd say long-term, Limerick look to be, to me, to be in a stronger position. But Tipperary, forwards. If you look at the four matches they've won this year, it's been a different forward. It's been man of the match in all games. I think Bubbles in one, Jason Ford in one, John McGrath in one, and Caldon yesterday. Like the form of them. And they're not all clicking on the one day, even. Like that's the worrying part, I'd say, for any defences. There's two or three of them playing really well, and maybe the other two or three a little bit quiet. So if they all click, and you know, it gives them a chance against anybody because of the scoring potential they have, and they're really enjoying their hurling. And like Seamus Callanan, he looks to me that he's got faster at his age than he was, and he was always a great athlete. But his pace and his work rate is just incredible. He scored 1-4 against a very tight Marken Limerick full back line yesterday, which is a fair achievement. And so, you know, I'm really looking forward to see them again. It'll be a different game, and say Limerick will have their full squad, but it mightn't just work out the way they think that they're going to come back and meet them. I thought the tip forwards were very comfortable, and the Mahers and across the half back line physically stood up to Limerick. So Limerick will have to improve. I think they're gliding along a little bit at the moment, and they're looking for a spark of inspiration, and it may come in the Munster final, but it'll take a fair team to stop this Tipperary. Sheedy has them absolutely jumping out of their skin.
Yeah, well, Limerick are not gliding along might even be generous. They've lost a couple of games already, and they're at a stage where they might need to win this Munster final to give the season a jolt. If they end up losing that,
Michael's point about, you know, sort of thinking your way through a season. Yeah. I mean, this is hurling, at some stage the thinking has to stop. You know,
it was interesting after the what Tipperary game was. I was at the Clare game, and we were talking to Sheedy after it, and they were de facto through that night, and we were kind of going, you know, when Limerick come to Thurles, you know, what's that going to be like? Are will you be putting your full team out, kind of thing? And he was just sort of going, no. Like, we have to go at every game. And, like, it's nearly a sort of, you know, an article of faith for them, because, and maybe that's knowing his own county and knowing his own people, because, you know, Tipperary people could get very, very jittery now at the merest sign of a fall off, like, you know, and the atmosphere around the team could change very handy. So, they're all about sort of forward momentum. It's interesting. Limerick could get beaten the next day and still be fine, and, you know, get to an All Ireland final having lost three games. What sort of state will they have been in then? Or, like, will people be going, well, you know, he jigged around his team, he got competition for places, and then the All Ireland series, it all kicked in. So, like, that's going to be so fascinating to watch.
All right, just before we let you go, Michael, you've mentioned it a couple of times, and you'd probably need a separate podcast to do it. So if you can sum up your feelings in about a minute or so on Offaly being relegated to the Christy Ring Cup. And for people who don't follow hurling that closely, this is a great hurling county that you won All Ireland's with, who are now being relegated to the third tier of the championship. What are your feelings?
I'm sad, really, more than anything. You know, there's an awful lot been written and said. You know, there was a lot of... Dahi had a bit of a go at the management the other day, and then Joachim came back, and that saddens me to see all that. You know, that we need unity more than ever, but it's allowed me to go to this. Like, I've been asked this question over the last 15 years or 20 years an awful lot. What's wrong with Offaly hurling? And you're coming up with ideas and solutions, and there's nobody really don't seem to be listening. Like, in 2005, I left Nolan Park, and Kilkenny had beaten us by 31 points, and I said, I can't get any lower than this. And what we didn't change any of our structures or do anything differently since then. So I think it's a huge wake up call. Maybe we had to go to this low ebb before maybe people will stand up, but it's an awful long way back. But that's, you know, Kerry beat us, Antrim beat us, Westmeath beat us. That's where we deserve to be, and we have to accept reality. That's where we are at the moment. We have to go back. We've only got 8 senior clubs. We've only got 10 secondary schools in the county. Only maybe 5 or 6 of them playing hurling. We need to get coaches into those schools. We need to look after the small numbers that we have and make sure we're getting more out of them. And our under 20s beat Carlow yesterday, and they beat Westmeath. That mightn't sound like much, but we're not beating them at adult level, and we haven't been beating them at minor level for the last number of years. Kildare better than the minor championship this year. So small steps, and there's, you know, I think there's definitely 5 or 6 of that under 20 team ready to go up, but they'll take a bit of time. So hopefully we can, you know, just to get a bit more positivity and get people all on the one side, the county board have to realise that the people who are, you know, like myself out there, who'd be willing to help and have ideas to help, we're not against them. We're all the one, and we care about the county.
So what do you want to do? You said you've got ideas to help, but would you like to get involved in a formal capacity, or just talking about advisory or what?
I'm not really sure. I'm talking to a few people in the background. I have some ideas on the coaching side. I've been involved in my own club underage. I'm not at the moment, but I was chairman for 7 years, and we came up like in a small area with a sort of a 20-point plan, and we implemented a group of us over probably 3 or 4 years. We grew from 100 kids to 370 kids, from 10 coaches to 62 coaches, all level one, all Garda vetted, all child protection courses, in a very, very small area, a little place outside of Tullamore. So like it's something similar to that. It can be replicated across. Our clubs have to go and look at themselves, look at the quality of the players that they're handing into the county. Like, you can't make an inter-county player out of a lad that's 21 or 22. He has to have the basics, and it has to be guided properly at 14, 15. And I don't think the development squad system thing is really working for us. I think our clubs are abdicating responsibility, and they're sending lads in to development squads, and they're not putting in the work with their own clubs. So, you know, it's a collective effort. I think our clubs, our coaching staff, our county board, and our people have to come together.
Okay, well, we'll leave it there, I suppose. Michael, pretty low note, but maybe things will improve. Great stuff. Thanks so much. And Maliki, thank you very much as well.
Cheers, boys.
Joel Kenny comes back to take the line ball. It's on the verge. It's on the verge for Galway. Joel Kenny with the line ball. Back outside his own 45-meter line. It's all over. Galway have won the All-Ireland Championship. Mick Kelly back in 1923. Joel Connolly in 1980. Connor is the man to my left in 87 and 88 with the captains. But David Burke is going to captain Galway to the fifth All-Ireland crown. We think of Tony Keeney. We think of Joe McDonough. We think of Niall Donohoe. We think of Michael Corcoran. We think of every great hurling person that has left us in the massive, massive time of 29 years. Connor is, I don't mind in admitting it, there's a fair few tears in the eyes. This is absolutely magic. Brilliant, Sean. I just so nervous.
Okay, Murph, you've bottled this up long enough. What's the good word? What's the bad word around the streets of Salt Hill and Shum and whatever other places there are in Galway?
Oh, there are tons of other places. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could sit here for hours.
I'm thinking about football, footballing hotbeds, you know.
Well, Curraghfinn would be an interesting place to be first.
That's probably the main, yeah.
Because go on. You may have remembered in March. I don't know. I mean, a lot of sport has happened since March the 17th. St. Patrick's Day, our national holiday, of course. But on that day, Curraghfinn won back-to-back Club Ireland titles, playing a sensational brand of football, the likes of which I don't think we've ever seen at club level. And yet it's a very, very different story at county level, I'm afraid. Galway were 5 points up against Roscommon yesterday, playing at home, playing with the aid of whatever breeze was there in Salt Hill. No, it wasn't at usual Salt Hill levels, but still a breeze nevertheless. 1 point from play in the second half. 1 point in total from the first 37 minutes of the second half, and then Shane Walsh kicked a 45 over the bar, I think, in injury time. And it was, you know, a shambles of a display from Galway, unfortunately, in the second half.
But why not just... Is it the fact that all those Curraghfinn players that I presume are stacked into that team, they just can't do it at intercounty level?
There was two of them on... cornerback and full forward, all-star Ian Burke. Liam Silk was playing a cornerback. And, you know, they are obviously different scenarios. And Kevin Walsh is always very quick to point out that, I mean, he was interviewed during the league, asked about the Curraghfinn players. He said, Curraghfinn have had a good, solid year. I mean, they've literally won back-to-back All-Ireland finals, playing sensational football. But good, solid year, that's fine. I'd like a good, solid year for the Galway footballers as well, if that's what we're talking about. Dublin have had a good, solid year.
Yep.
But anyway, it is. I mean, it's obviously it's a different thing. You need to fit these players in. But at the same time, there are a couple of guys who've been clamouring to get on the Galway team for a long time. Martin Farragher, Kieran Malloy. I mean, it's not just the club level that Kieran Malloy is a brilliant player. I mean, he was on the Sigerson team of the year. Like, just a massive leader for NUI Galway for the last couple of years. Like, he is, you know, voted the club footballer of the year in the entire country this year. Came on with 70 minutes to go. He had picked up a knock in Sligo. People presumed he wasn't fit. And then we see him come on with 6 or 7 minutes to go, and you're like, okay, if he was fit, then, you know, if he's able to play 5 minutes, he's able to play 15 minutes, you know. Killian McDade came back from Aussie Rules last year. A really big prospect, didn't see him until the 64th minute. Martin Farragher got a goal and 2 points against Sligo in 4 minutes of football. Comes on with 3 or 4 minutes to go. you know, it.
Coach,
we all know what happened.
Where do you think you got it all
wrong?
Well,
that
today?
Is where people are pinning a lot of the blame, isn't it?
Well, Kevin Walsh is obviously a good man to prepare a team. Like he has done well with Galway from a very low base, but in-game management is a major problem. Making decisions to try and affect the game once it's in motion is a major problem, and unfortunately, Galway saw that again yesterday. But I mean, like, you know, Roscommon are decent opposition. You know, they're a Division One team. They've yo-yoed up and down from Division One, and they so deserved it yesterday. Like, with 50 minutes gone, it's like, if Roscommon don't close this out now, it's
unbelievable. Yeah, I couldn't believe how limp Galway were in the second half.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like an important game for them, and I don't mean that. Of course, everyone's trying their best and all the rest of it. I can't believe I'm now boiling this down to hunger like so many GA pundits do. That's not actually how I meant this sentence to go, Murph, but it just felt like there was a lack of intensity to the whole thing. There was no
conviction and imagination.
Conviction. There was no conviction. That was
hunger.
No. Conviction and imagination were the two things that were sorely lacking with Galway yesterday. And, like, you know, you can certainly point at the players, you know, but I think it's, you know, the unfortunate fact is that Galway have probably the third or fourth best panel of footballers in the country. And I don't even think that many people would argue with you. I mean, there's a weakness in the full back line. But they have more good forwards than everyone except Dublin and Kerry.
Why are you smiling?
He's just got such a very high opinion of Galway the whole time. You know, they keep
The footballers and the herders are both third in the country. They're just out of their championships.
Well, Galway are still in it for another couple of weeks. The footballers are still in for another couple of weeks.
Yeah.
What
would need to happen for you to change that view? How many times do they need to lose?
The herders have to lose like 7 or 8 more games this summer for me to finally admit. I mean, they'd have to be beaten by everyone in the Munster Championship for me to finally admit that they were the third best.
Okay.
But yes, very sobering. Okay. Very sobering on.
Thanks, Murph, for talking us through your pain. Thanks for sharing.
Thanks, Murph.
Thank you, Ken.
Even thank us. We'll thank you today, Murph. Thanks, Murph.
Thank you.
Which one is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.